The last thing I'd want to do, honestly, is like a term life insurance policy. Like my wife's mom, she did a term life insurance policy that just ended recently. Yep. The term ended. Yep. And now for her to get another term policy, it's stupidly expensive now because she's like 75.
Hypothetically, the value of your life, $3 million. There's no way at all, even if we did a whole life insurance front load, we could get $3 million of life insurance if we wanted to optimize it for cash. It does make sense to me. Hey guys, it's Caleb Williams with... Let's talk about life insurance. Let's just say for greater purposes, you and your wife don't have life insurance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Close enough. Let's talk about life insurance from the insurance factor. I'm not talking about like and asset, overfunded whole life insurance. Yeah. I'm talking life insurance in general. Do you like, what questions do you have? Because I definitely think everyone should have life insurance, but I probably no one has shared with you why.
Well, I mean, the death benefits, obviously the main thing to take care of your loved ones after you go. For me, I was more interested in a cash value policy because I'm not really so concerned about a death benefit right now as I don't have a kid yet.
Yep.
And my wife can take care of herself, although I'd hate to do that to her. I'd love to leave her with a bunch of money.
You don't want her remarrying.
No, not at all. We don't want that.
So here's what I'd say, and this is just an interesting way to think about life insurance, is we insure our cars, we insure our homes, we insure our businesses. I know, right? Okay? You are making currently $120,000, and you're going to continue to make more money. If I unemotionally look at you on a balance sheet, you don't show up, but you should. And so the point that I just want to make is it should be, if you have ultimate why that you want in your life, and I'm sure there's bigger reasons to why you want to get like all that stuff. It's like, regardless of what happens, if you die or live, wouldn't it be cool if your life actually showed up about you're going to create it with whether you live? Why in the world would dying take you away from creating that? It's just something to think about. So like, for example, let's just say I have $10 million on my life, just hypothetically.
Okay.
It's like, I think I'm going to make a lot more, but the insurance company won't give me more. Okay. It's just hypothetically. So I'm going to continue to, the more money I continue to be able to make, that means my ability, my life is valuable, regardless of my wife and kids and all that stuff. Like, that's a great conversation, but it's like, I want to insure my greatest asset, which is myself.
Yourself.
And I'm literally just protecting what is going to happen if I live.
I never thought of it that way until I saw your content, man. Your content is what made me think of it that way. When you're like, you insure, I saw a video with you before where you broke down. You insure your car, your house, this and that and the other, but you don't insure yourself and you're your best asset. And I agree with you. You're right. And that's what kind of led me down the road of like looking at more life insurance. And then as I'm not so focused on the death benefit, I kind of steer more towards a cash value one so I can use that now.
Yep.
Then that's got a death benefit down the road though as well. And so I kind of view that as kind of the best of both worlds.
Yep.
The last thing I'd want to do, honestly, is like a term life insurance policy. Like my wife's mom, she did a term life insurance policy that just lapsed. I don't want to say lapsed, but just ended recently.
Yep.
The term ended.
Yep.
And now for her to get another term policy, it's stupidly expensive now because she's like 75. And so now she's not going to do
done.
It.
I mean,
so she paid the life insurance company for 20 years or whatever, and they get to walk off good to go. And now there's no death benefit for her daughter, who is my wife, you know?
Yep. And that's a classic example of term insurance is an expense that you hopefully never have to cash in on, because that means you probably died prematurely.
Yep.
But ironically, you'll probably get term insurance. Hear me out here. So let's go back to disability, because that's the same concept. For you with where you're at, I think it potentially is worth looking at quotes, and I'll potentially connect you with somebody. But it's the same concept of like, okay, I have income. Why wouldn't I insure my income? Now, where it gets interesting is your background, your history, being homeless, drugs. Like, there's a chance, dude, you're not going to be able to get life insurance or disability. We're going to have to be creative. I don't know, but that should share with the listener. Like that's why not everyone gets to benefit in the whole life insurance concept. And we'll see. There's a lot of people that are smarter than me on our team that can figure out underwriting and all that stuff. But there are certain people that would look at you on paper. We might have to send them this interview and be like, whoa. And that's just unfortunate, because they just value someone on piece of paper and what they're seeing in medical records and kind of deal.
Yep.
Point that I'm making is, if we can qualify, I think the first thing is we need to ask, how much life insurance can we actually get? How much insurance would they actually give us? Because insurance companies don't want us to get rich off of killing ourselves. Mm-hmm. So there can't be any incentive. And so what they'll usually do is they'll usually give you like 25 to 30 times your income, which is over $3 million.
Yep.
Okay. So hypothetically, the value of your life, $3 million. I think it's a lot more for the record, but on paper.
I think so too.
$3
million. On paper.
So the question is, there's no way at all that to, like, even if we did a whole life insurance front load, we could get $3 million of life insurance if we wanted to optimize it for cash. So one of the things that I would look into is convertible term. And what convertible term is you get cheap term insurance that is an expense. You lock in your insurability. You lock in your $3 million of life insurance. And then the moment you want the master account, the and asset, the overfunded, you can take a chunk of that and convert it to overfunded life insurance, which is, again, all we teach when it comes to overfunded life insurance is a better place to store and use your money. It's just an efficient place to store.
Not an investment.
It's not an investment. So, but life insurance itself is super, super important. So yeah, it might be an expense. It might be like, yeah, this could be 1 or 2% of like my income, all this stuff. It's like, yeah, but we're building the foundation. And one of the first things is we're putting a value, which changes the way you show up. You're like, man, I'm going to make more than $3 million in my lifetime, but I'm literally valued on a balance sheet that if something ever happens to me, like there's going to be $3 million that's going to get sent to our estate. To where you want, like, how cool is that?
It is.
And as you make more money and you understand the power of storing and using your money, you can convert that without any health tests, without anything, and then boom, we can have early cash value that can essentially be your emergency and opportunity. So one of the things that I think is going to be just a no-brainer is for us to start that process for you and your wife, because your wife doesn't have any. Who knows what the future holds about storing and using money? I don't feel good at this point saying cash out your 401k and put into life insurance, but there may be a world where it's like, hey, you're starting to save $36,000. You should save that starting in a savings account. But there's a world where it's like, okay, long term, where should this money be stored? Life insurance has so many more benefits than a high yield savings account for the long term and gives you almost as much liquidity. Yeah. And so we could use that, but that might be a year or two from now.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, high yield savings account, convertible term insurance, and stop max funding your 401k and potentially learn more information. And what we may want to do with your 401k, you can make this decision. You can either keep it where it's at, or you can cash it out, realize the penalties, put it into a high yield savings account with the idea of opportunity emergency. Emergency is building the 50,000. Everything and above is an investment in TIE, in TIE initiatives. And I believe that I'm going to earn more than 10, 20, because the nut is really, can you earn more than 10,000? You know, I think the answer is yes.
I think the answer is yes.
And
that's a good
week on the job. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all that to say, like, I think it's actually very, I try to simplify everything. And I think the emergency opportunity is a very good framework for you.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like if the next 5 years you just accumulated money and you're constantly be thinking, where should I invest this?
Yeah.
Convertible term, there's no rush to get whole life insurance, but let's get you and your wife life insurance, like term insurance that gives you a convertible option. Yes, there's going to be some expense, but it literally locks insurance in on your lives and gives you options. And again, dude, I don't know if you're going to be able to qualify health-wise. Maybe we get it on your wife, but you should at least try just to see, like, can I get life insurance? Because if you can't, that is a major bummer.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that there are lots of options that we can do, but I'm just like, I want the listener or the person watching this to know the value of being able to get life insurance, because not everyone can.
No, you're right. And I was a little bit concerned about that as well. I talked to a guy about doing a life insurance policy before meeting with you, and it didn't feel right, so I didn't do it. But through that conversation, it made me kind of realize that, crap, I don't know how insurable I am in that regard. Yep. Like, I know all my wife's markers for good health are, like, very, very good. So I know she'd be probably perfectly fine there. And I think in general, women are a bit more insurable than men. We tend to do more dumb stuff. We die younger.
Yep.
So I would probably get a policy on her first to see how that looks. But then for me, like, my blood pressure is a little on the high side, you know, and I know that might put me at, like, what's called maybe a table rate.
I mean, I think at this point, the cool thing is we can go through an underwriting process and you can is like you don't have to pay anything and you can just see if you qualify or not. So it's like it's just one of those things where it's just like, man, this is a huge gap. And in the disability side, we can go through the process and you might decide, hey, I'm not going to go that route, or it might not make sense. I would recommend everyone at least know what it would look like to insure certain blocks of your income. Because again, we don't think we're going to like trip on a sidewalk. No. But a lot of disability comes from chronic illness.
Okay.
We all know somebody that got cancer prematurely. We all know those. And listen, I want to be like, we live in a time where I'm less concerned about DI for people that can speak. You know, if you're a doctor, if you're certain people that use your hands and you're making high income, vital.
Yeah.
For other like people, even like myself, you could make the argument that I don't need disability because I could freaking be bedridden and I would still be creating value.
Yeah.
So it just depends on like how we're going to define disabled.
Disabled and how you create your value.
Right. So I want to be as fair and balanced as possible. I know there's people that sell disability insurance that hate me right now, but I just like.
Is there a world where you can do a term policy that has disability in there as well?
There's a world. So life insurance policies that we work with have what's called accelerated benefit riders, chronic illness riders. What that essentially does is some people buy long-term care and they essentially say, hey, when I get old and I need to go into a nurse, like, and I need help, it can be very, very expensive. Very expensive to pay for the cost of that.
Yeah.
What a lot of life insurance policies will allow you to be able to do is spend on your death benefit while you're alive if you trigger certain activities, you know, of that. And so the answer to your question is no, there usually is not, when it comes to life insurance, any like disability rider. There is what's called a waiver of premium, that if you have a whole life insurance policy that you're funding and you get disabled, the company will fund for you. No one's going to do that on your 401k or Roth IRA. So there's a world where that happens, and that's another thing that we could talk about, because it's like, hey, maybe you don't do DI, but maybe you add this rider, and rider ensures that this insurance company is going to fund on your behalf. Now, it's less efficient for the cash value in the first, you know, because obviously you're adding a cost, but there's a benefit to it. And so there's all these things.
Question, when you say DI, what's DI?
Disability income insurance.
Got you. Okay, cool. That's kind of what I thought. Just wanted to double check. Okay. Yep.
Thank you for asking that. So so any questions on, I think going through the convertible term process is a no-brainer. I think getting a quote for disability income insurance is just important for your due diligence.
Just in case.
But there may be a world where there's some things that we can do on the life insurance side that can accomplish the emergency fund, opportunity fund, and insure your greatest asset.
Yeah, and we can talk about more about that offline later maybe as well.
Yep, okay. You got $10,000 in the checking account.
Yep.
You have money that you got to figure out what you're going to do with the 401k. If that money's somewhat freed up, maybe it accelerates our conversation a little bit.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's like, I think a year from now or 2 years from now, we're in a good situation.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, we just talked about compound interest. Compound interest is awesome, but I just showed you 12% compounding and was like, okay. Like for you, it's like, I'm not going to be too concerned with the year's loss of compound interest in a savings vehicle. Does that make sense?
It does. I get what you're saying there. For me, the concept of not using my money and it growing and compounding all the time sounds amazing.
I understand.
And also the fact that to get to the money, my 401k is kind of a pain in the rear end. You got to do a loan. It has to be underwritten. You have to do withdrawals. There's got to be a reason for that and so on.
Let me tell you this. Over 30 years, using your life insurance versus using your high yield savings account, there's a massive difference. Massive. It could be over $1 million difference. Yeah. Okay. But again, perspective, 1 year.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. And so it's okay, again, like, hey, this is a main moneymaker for us. Okay. I'm a big, big fan of life insurance.
Yeah, for sure.
I put a lot of money into life insurance, but it's not at the expense of other things. So the thing is, we could talk about that all day long, but like, I want to make sure it's like, what is the purpose of these funds? And I think there's some velocity that needs to happen internally. And I want you to get life insurance and I want to give you the option to convert. But if you got convertible term, what I would say to you is like, dude, you're locked in your insurability. Let's wait a year or two and then let's convert it when it really makes sense. Right now, it doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. I appreciate the honesty there.
Thank you so much for listening to the Better Wealth Podcast. It would mean the world to me if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with the people that you know and love.